This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. It's Tuesday, so that means it's time to ruffle some feathers from the patio studios, of course, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Remember, pre or post game, patios is the place to meet. If you're going to meet at Stan Musial, that's fine, but I always say start at patios and then meet at Stan Musial. I think that's the way to do it, especially after games. Have a great time and enjoy responsibly, of course, with our friends. Can't thank Randy Green with Innovative Companies enough for his continued support of our show. InnovativeCompanies.com, doesn't matter if it's residential, commercial, or industrial, that's the name you know and trust. Special thanks, as always, go out to Randy and his wonderful daughter, Stephanie Green, for their continued support and everything they do for the community. Remember that discount, 15% off your total project if you're a first responder or military, as they take care of their own. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. Well, an interesting few days in social media. And let's face it, Ruffled Feathers is all about us trying to give a voice to fans. And I've said this 100 times. It's not right or wrong. It isn't about right or wrong. It's about everybody's got an opinion, and you're entitled to it. And it doesn't matter what I think or anybody thinks. You know, you feel how you feel. Now, educated conversations are great, and they're not even really intended, on my part anyway. I'll speak for myself, no one else. They're not really even intended to change anybody's mind. They're intended for me to have a conversation. I like to try to get smarter by having conversations with other people that have differences of opinions. But in the end, people are going to be who they are, and you're entitled to do that. But the last few days have been, like, for me as a fan of baseball and of Cardinal baseball, have just been all over the place. So I want to welcome in my friend who at times gets his feathers ruffled, appropriately named, after the show. Friend to all of us, and Cardinal fan, of course, just ruffled feather fan, the whole thing. Ron Nuttall, what's going on?
Hey, you know, Jim, I'm shocked out here that on my way into work this morning, a car in front of me has a Cubs bumper sticker on.
Oh, guy, that's like a bad sign, isn't it?
It's not a way to start off a week. And lo and behold, I get off the next exit ramp, and the car in front of me has a Brewers thing on the back window. So I just don't know what the hell is happening out here. I know that Charlotte is a little bit of a melting pot, but that's not the way to start off of Monday. There has been, you know, with winter warmups happening and interviews happening, questions being answered, and given that the drama over sign stealing is still lingering on, there's a lot happening in baseball.
Well, it's going to linger because I think everybody involved in it has done an absolutely horrible job. Major League Baseball has embarrassed themselves once again in the handling of something. Listen, we're not stupid, okay? We're not dumb. We also, I'm also going to say I'm not dumb, and I understand to some degree that this is your thing. Like, you're basically punishing yourself. Because when you punish players, you're punishing yourself, right? It hurts you. It's almost like when your mom and dad beat your ass when you were little and they said, this hurts you a lot more than it hurts me. And you're like, yeah, bullshit, right? Like, this shit hurts. Well, the truth of the matter is, it does hurt Major League Baseball if they do what they should. What are the long-term ramifications? I don't know. Because people would say, oh, this is going to kill it. This is going to do that. Like, no, it won't. It's just too big. It's too strong. You know, we're not talking about like the NFL dealing with concussions, which is going to make them completely change their game, especially from a legal standpoint as well, and what their responsibility is that I think will change football forever over the next 5 years, maybe 10. But baseball will recover from this. But as I've said 100 times over, what is the, like, if they, have they not learned that we as a people want to forgive our heroes? All we need to hear them say is, yeah, I did it. I'm sorry. Lapse in judgment. Sit there and lie to us. Doesn't matter. That's what we want, because then we feel like it's okay for us to like them again because they're sorry. That's how we treat our life all the time, right? Like, well, he said he was sorry, or she said she was sorry, or, you know, my kid won't do it again. You know, yeah, he screwed up. Like, we want to believe in people, right? That's our nature. So to stand there like they did this weekend and act ignorant and almost passe about it, like we're stupid, was bad on their part, number one. Major League Baseball's handling of this. I still say the most unbelievable thing to me is the people out there, and especially that Major League Baseball wants us to believe that they did this in 2017, won a World Series, and said, nah, we're not going to do it anymore. I mean, come on, this is ignorant. And now it's made it to be where the biggest, the people driving this thing are social media people that aren't even involved in Major League Baseball. But it does, but people that are good at picking up things and splicing video and being able to have the proper camera work and everything, like, they're not dumb. Like, this is, like, I don't know who they think they're fooling, but that's where I'm at on it. So just kind of crazy for me.
Yeah, you know, the I'm as much as impressed with anything on the internet I've seen as some of these guys who are, and gals, that are looking in and researching video clips and some of the still images where there's some suspicious things showing up on uniforms. I mean, I'm impressed with that detective work. I am unimpressed with baseball's ability to cover, or at least telling us they're unable to, you know, uncover anything post 2017. So, I don't buy it either, but, you know, your point you made about second chances. Absolutely. I think everybody should say, I'm definitely in that camp. I definitely don't like to burn a bridge, slam a door shut. If it's genuine, somebody's going to learn from whatever they've done. I'm all about second chances.
A couple of names I never hear about when it comes to PEDs. I don't ever hear Andy Pettit's name mentioned. Never. Why? I did it. You know, I'm bad. You know, he came out basically, and I don't hear D. Gordon's name mentioned. You know who I hear mentioned? I hear mentioned the guys that went on and on and on and wanted us to believe them, and they put up a good fight, and then 10 years later, I did it. Look at Mark McGwire. We love him in St. Louis, right? He was our guy, and that's another thing. When it's your guys, you're a little more, you're way easier to forgive, right? Well, but people were still mad at Mark McGwire, right? Like, he lied. He thought we were stupid. He did his thing, right? And then what? I don't know how many years it was later, he come out and said, yeah, I did it, right? And then everybody forgave him, and then it was standing ovation time, and I don't understand. See, the problem is they can do this. See, here's what I think they think as players. They can do this. They can do this right now. And then if it'll either go away because something else will happen, or someday they'll tell us they're sorry and we'll forgive them. So, I mean, again, it doesn't matter to me. I've said it once, I'll say it again. Like, it's their deal. It's not my league. It's Major League Baseball's league. It's the Houston Astros organization. If the Cardinals are involved in some way in anything that's improper, it's their organization. You know what? They don't care what I think. Do what you want to do. But I'm a consumer, and I'll act accordingly. And I think the greatest thing of this whole deal, and I don't want to make this all about the Astros because I want to get to some Cardinal stuff, but I think the most telling thing now is, and I heard I don't know if you heard this interview, Mark Teixeira has been pretty open about doing interviews with people, because of his involvement now in baseball. And, you know, he's been pretty honest and forthright with telling you some of the things that have went on in locker rooms and stuff in the past. I mean, he was pretty open about, like, hey, yeah, back in the day, locker rooms were divided. There were fist fights over steroids and PEDs. It all went on. Yes. the guys that played the game the right way were absolutely pissed off, but there was a code and they didn't, and all that kind of shit, right? But yes, so I'm going to tell you right now, this is a problem in that instance. And Mike Fears broke the code, and the fact that some people, especially Jessica Mendoza, I think, if I said her name right, that was the most ridiculous thing ever. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say this. I don't care. If that was a man, she'd be fired today. She would have been fired the day it happened. Fired.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. All I know is that, you know, you're probably right.
And I don't care that she's a woman. I don't care. I don't care. I think it's exciting that we have a woman coach in the league now. I want more women to love the game of baseball. I want more women to be involved in the game of baseball. If they're qualified, great. It doesn't matter to me. Black, white, male, female. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. But the shit she said is ridiculous, and they have gotten rid of men for a lot less, a lot quicker.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't disagree with that at all. I mean, now, you know, she was asked a question and she gave an opinion on it. And I certainly understand. We all understand where she's coming from, but probably not the spot you want to put yourself in. You know, if you answer that out there, you open yourself up to criticism. She's a media member. So, I mean, she knows that an opinion is going to get out and it's not going to be popular with everybody, but it's hers. You know, I know she takes a lot of, from social media. She gets a lot of criticism just over the way she calls a game. I personally don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with the way, people don't like the way she calls a game. I don't see anything wrong with it. I think there's people out there that have a problem with the way she calls a game. She's a woman. And I think that's stupid and ignorant, but whatever. You can't fix stupid. I've said that 100 times, but you know, for her to be in the position that she's in and to basically say, I got a problem with the way it came out. No. And I love Trevor Bowers, and people know I like Trevor Bowers. Like, of course you like Trevor Bowers. No, I like Trevor Bowers because he's not afraid to say what needs to be said. She come out and said, well, it should have done, he should have done this and this and this. And Trevor Bowers like, what do you mean? They did. This has been going on for years. Telling the right people and all the innuendo behind the scenes and all this. And so guess what? Sooner or later, you got to just let the cat out of the bag because people aren't doing anything about it.
Well, I think going back to it, I think I said it last week, it was foolish to believe that cat would always and forever stay in the bag. That's what makes the story that much more unbelievable.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everything will come out eventually. Well, here's the deal. And the last part I want to say about this, because this is the social media part of it. So fans obviously are all over the board with this, right? And I think it is pretty cool that that people want to get their opinion out there. Now the part for me, though, that I think is pretty cool is now you're starting to see some players that are pretty vocal about their unhappiness with this. Mike Clevenger has been on it pretty good. Obviously, Trevor Bauer's been on it. But now I've seen Chris Archer, Marcus Stroman. We saw Cody Bellinger share something one day. This tells me that this is going to be interesting. You know, I am curious to see where this is going to go. But let's take it where it needs to go, and that's to the Cardinals. And the thing I want to start with today, and I'm curious your thoughts, there is a faction of fans who want Jeff Albert's head over this. So I want to talk a little bit about what you think and talk a little bit about in relation to some of the things that I have seen on social media and you have probably seen as well. And let's try to figure out if Jeff Albert should be held accountable for this instance and see where the Cardinals are at. We can talk about whether it's right or wrong. And then we can talk about opinion. Before we do that, though, we're going to ask you to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. When you get there, we're going to ask you to click subscribe to the podcast. It takes about 30 seconds, and it's free. Also, you can check out our Two Birds bloggers there as well. On social media, you'll find us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Follow us there. Find us on Facebook. Type in Two Birds on a Bat. We're going to ask you to like that page. If you'd click invite your friends and invite all your Cardinal fan friends, that'd be great, too. But more importantly, when you see the pinned post, that is our latest show, click on it. you know, like it, comment on it, and share it, and that helps us bring in more Cardinal fans. As always, Instagram as well, Two Birds and a Bat Show, and as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, we're happy to be a part of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free today. Special thanks, as always, goes out to drkristenjacobs.com, who wants to remind us that every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Check out Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness and find out if there's something that she's doing out there and helping people that you would like to be a part of. That's drkristenjacobs.com. To the Gators Baseball Academy, thank you for your continued support. I've been enjoying in my time helping some of these youngsters and just being in the facilities and seeing everybody put in the hard work. It means a lot to me to be a part of it. Make sure you check them out both in Missouri and Illinois. When you go to GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, you'll see some of the great clinics, academies, training sessions. If you're looking for a team, there's probably still some teams out there looking as well. All the way from the little Gators, the little guys, all the way up to the top high school teams. So make sure you guys check them out. And of course, oh my God, special thanks to Adam Smokehouse. Had so many people in town reach out to us and say, I've been planning this. We came in town for winter warm-up. We had it on the list. You know, winter warm-up, get to go over to Adams, and you know, they've acknowledged it and said so many people have come in and said they listen, they've heard us talk about it on the show and they had to try it. And then the people reach out to us and say, you're right, it's so good. If you're in town here and haven't done it, you guys got to get in there, man. Check it out. You guys are going to love it. Adams Smokehouse, located on Watson Road, open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Please don't forget the great sides on top of the entree. I mean, the ribs, the pulled pork, the salami, the turkey, everything they do there is phenomenal. Anybody we've ever taken there has just raved about it. People come from all over to try it. You guys, if you're coming in town, make sure you try it out. Tell them we said hello. Mike and his staff do a tremendous job. They deliver to certain zip codes. I saw some people asking about it on social media on the other day, having some fun with it. You know, do so. Big box lunch orders, they'll take care of you there. And of course, if you have a catering job that needs taken care of, Adam Smokehouse, that's where I'd go. Adam Smokehouse, Mike and his staff, thank you so much. And we do appreciate you taking care of all of our fans as they came in for the winter warm-up. That's Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. All right, my friend. The Jeff Albert thing. I'm going to let you start this one off. Where are you at personally on Jeff Albert?
As far as the story itself, I'm just going to say this about the whole Astros situation. He wasn't with a big club in 2017. However, he was the assistant hitting coach in 2018 while he was there. So, I mean, there's that kind of he cooperated with the investigation. Baseball has kind of cleared him. So I've got to go with that, right, unless something else is revealed. So I'm kind of – that's where I'm at with that whole situation, right? If they kind of said, hey, this guy cooperated, you know, we're not going to punish him, you know, we're going to move on, that's all the farther I'm going to take that. Now, as far as him now, after last season, you know, the Cardinals were they were in the back half of the league as far as hitting. If you just look at batting average, I know there's all kinds of other things to look at too. There's on-base percentage, slugging, all that. But as far as just batting, they were in the bottom half of the league. Now he's got a new system, a lot of new information. Guys are getting used to it. It's, you know, they're going to start implementing this in the lower minor league levels. And so I kind of look at last year and go, wow, there's a bunch of guys that had down years. I'm not going to point at Jeff Albert today and go, well, boy, there's the common denominator right there. No, I just think we have some poor hitters and circumstantial that, hey, look, a couple of guys, key contributors or need to be key contributors, had a down year. I say, like, I want to see if their approach changes, if they're buying into his philosophy. I think this year will tell us that. So it's really hard for me to say, hey, look, I've never been in place where I go, well, all hitting coaches fall. You know, he didn't have these guys prepared. No, I'm not saying that at all right now. I think I want to see what happens in 2020 and kind of where I'm at. And I can't really take a side on this one. I'm just more like, okay, can anybody really affect that much change in a year, or is it going to take a couple of years? And I think common sense to me, like, it's probably going to take a few years. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. My thing on this is like, as far as Jeff Albert and who he is and what he does as a hitting instructor, there's a reason they hired him, right? Like, coming from an organization that they obviously, you know, everybody's impressed with for whatever, you know, whatever reason. But the reality of it is this. This new age of hitting instructor is different than the old age, right? Like, I've said it on here before. Most of these guys are kinesiology majors and, you know, they study the human body and how it moves. And then they have an opinion on how they're going to get to where they want to go. Some of it is their ability to put together a plan and implement this plan, and how are you going to do it, and how are you going to measure it, and how are you going to track it. And that's, you know, if you talk to any of these guys that are involved in this now, especially the guys that are the directors at the minor league level, I mean, that's what they're going to tell you, right? Like, this is about putting together a plan, and how do you implement this plan? How do you track it? You know, it's almost like when you spend money on a budget. You know, it's dollar in. You know, you have to account for every dollar out, and did it bring $2 in? Same thing here. You have to track everything you do and find out if there's any data to suggest that what you're doing works. So it's not just about knowing your shit. You have to be able to implement your shit, and then you got to be able to track your shit, and then you got to be able to prove that your shit works, right? So when Jeff Albert was hired, all the people that I know out in that community would tell you he's was a bright young guy that was in immersed in this stuff and picked up on all the communication. All that kind of stuff was tremendous, right? Now, here's what I'll tell you. Make no mistake about it. A, you got to have players that can do the things that you want them to do. There has to be buy-in. Buy-in is the most important thing in the world, because I've said it on here 1,000 times. The majority of these guys are all somewhere else. I think we saw a couple Cardinal pitchers at Driveline out in California. Well, I didn't see Maddox around anywhere, right? Okay, I've seen video of all kinds of hitters with all their guys wherever they're at, in their little nook somewhere in the country or out of the country, in a cage somewhere with a guru. Okay, so yes, they're there working on something. Are they working on what they want to work on, or are they working on an approach the St. Louis Cardinals would like them to approach their business with? Some of it should all marry up, right? Like, we're trying to get better. So it's not rocket science. Like, this is where you struggle. How do we fix that? Well, there's where the rub comes, is that some people have a difference of opinion of how you fix that, right? Now, where's the buy-in? Yep, you know what? I'm all in. This is what I'm going to fix. Carlos Martinez went through it. Remember when he showed up and he had been working out on his own plan? And he'd been working out, but according to the Cardinals, they didn't like the workout he was doing. Well, he was working out with somebody else that said, no, this is what you need to do. The Cardinals said, no, that's not what you need to do. Right? So there's all that kind of shit that's been going on for a long time, and it's going to continue to the end of time. Right? So for me, as far as Jeff Albert's concerned, are you far enough down the road right now where you wouldn't want to get rid of him? The bottom line is, they believe in him. If they didn't, then they would have cut loose with him. What was his involvement in Houston? I have no idea. I don't know. But I will say this. It's like I said about the whole Aaron Hernandez thing. Everybody and her brother probably watched it this weekend. Here's what I can tell you. You can watch that. You can form an opinion. You can do whatever. And I don't even really care. You don't know if he pulled the trigger on either job. But he was there, right? He was there. He was a part of what was going down, okay? For whatever reason, he was there, right? Same thing with Jeff Albert, okay? Did Jeff Albert orchestrate this? Did he set up a TV? Did he teach guys? I don't know the answer to that, but he was there. And if you think it – and again, I've said this – if you think it wasn't going on in 2018, then you're ignorant, okay? You're dumb. I mean, it's it. I'm sorry. And you can get mad at me. You can say whatever you want. They didn't win a World Series in 2017 cheating and showed up to spring training and said, hey, guys, it was really wrong what we did last year. Let's not do it anymore. That's not what they did. That's not what they did. In fact, what they did was, hey, guys, I've been thinking about this, and I think as we move forward, there's guys getting on to what we're doing. I think I have a foolproof way to do this, and we won't, and nobody will even know what we're doing. It's only logical. The whole Band-Aid thing with the buzzer on it is logical. Think about it. It's the next step. It's no different than technology and our phones and everything else. Everything becomes wireless, right? It's logical. Right. I talked to my IT guy here at work. He said he could make that thing in 5 minutes. He could make a little thing, put it on a piece of tape, put it on my body, and he could press a button and send me a thing in the studio in 5 minutes. It's logical. It's logical.
And I'll have to do it over cell. I need one of those to know when you're going to have to throw a curveball at me.
So anyway, the point is, Jeff Albert was 100% part of something that was going on that was against the rules.
Yeah.
In his mind, I don't know. I have no idea. Did Jeff Albert think, man, this is bullshit? Did Jeff Albert think, I don't want to be a part? Well, I'll tell you what Jeff Albert thought. I'm a young hitting coach trying to live out my dream, and here I am caught in the middle of this shit. Now, he might have thought this is awesome or this sucks. I have no idea. I can't speak to the heart of Jeff Albert. But the facts are he was involved in it. So if you want him gone because he was a party to what was going on, then that's fine. Then kick him out. If you want to keep him and give him a chance to show, the Cardinals have said, we don't do this stuff. We're not going to be a part of it. So he's going to have to come in here and stand on his own merit either way. Yeah. The truth is, either way, I really don't care. I don't think, like, I'm just like, whatever.
Well, and I think that, you know, people that think the Astros are the Astros and Red Sox are the only organizations that have ever done this shit, then you haven't been paying attention. And you'd be pretty naive to think that it doesn't go anywhere. So if you're going to die on this hill that says, hey, anybody that knows anything about this that goes on in baseball shouldn't have a job anymore, there'd be a lot of people out of the league, like, overnight. So, look, I'm not saying it's okay, but if baseball was going to start cracking down on the players, if they were going to do that with even all the personnel in the clubhouse, how the hell do you go about doing that? That's a widespread plague there. How are you going to knock all that out overnight? You're not going to. And so instead, you go after the quickest thing that Manfred could have done, and that was the general manager / president and the guy in charge of the clubhouse, which is the manager. So, you know, that's people got to understand baseball needs to focus at this point on how do you stop it? How do you set, you know, rules around this? So it's very clear to players, if you get caught, this is the consequence. So they've got to draw a line somewhere, a sharp line, not this fuzzy one that they had before, but a very clear understanding from the players that, yes, if I do that, this is going to happen to me. They can't go. I don't know how they go back and retrofit or go back and do anything unless another port of information comes out. I think it's going to be very hard for them to do that. And I'm, you know, I don't know how long it's going to go on. I know we're all getting, I'm getting fatigued by it. You know, all the still pictures with circles being drawn around where somebody thinks somebody has a device on. I actually, as a joke on, I think, Facebook, Twitter, I can't remember. I actually had a picture of John Mozeliak and I circled a spot on his shirt. I'm like, uh-oh. I think I did a Honus Wagner one too on Facebook. I mean, it's just kind of getting ridiculous, but I don't know. Me personally, okay, we know about it. It doesn't take away their World Series. I don't know how you go about doing that. I know college vacates things all the time, but fine. You want to do it in baseball? I don't care one way or the other. I'm ready to move forward. Get the rules established. Make sure everybody buys in and understands. It's never going to 100% go away. Somebody's going to try shit all the time, right? There's guys that still get popped for PEDs. It's going to happen. How do you minimize it? How do you get it as much out of the game as you possibly can? That's where I'm looking forward to going and
well,
not looking back on this as much anymore.
Well, the punishment has to be so severe that guys just won't even try it because the money's too great, right? Or their love to play mm-hmm. is too great. I think it's in a top athlete's nature to always push the envelope. I mean,
sure.
You can say, yeah, well, I don't care if it's wrong. That's fine. I'm not saying it is right. I'm saying it's their nature. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not every guy's nature, but it's in a lot. Like, if you've ever been around guys that are just superior athletes, man, they're always pushing the envelope. Well, Jim, that doesn't right wrong. I understand that. That's why they push the envelope. Like, how far can I go without going over the edge? So now, on the Jeff Albert thing, though, for me, and this is kind of where I'm at, unless you believe that his whole teaching philosophy is based on buzzers and trash cans, which I don't think he made a name for himself by teaching guys how to hit based on knowing an off-speed pitch is coming or not coming. There's something there that had risen him up through these ranks, and he has done some things. So, you know, again, I'm okay with it either way. Like, if they fired him today and said, look, we're just going to dissociate ourselves and anybody that was involved in this. Okay, so now you've set a precedent, right? So you will never acquire anybody that played for the Astros. You will never anybody that there's any rumblings at all that they may have been involved in this. And let's make no mistake, it's not just Houston, right? It's not just Houston. Okay, there's other clubs that it's coming out, okay? So, again, not bad. I'm good with whatever anybody wants to do. I don't think – I know there's people that are like, the bottom line is I want them out. I want them gone. You know, that's it. So, no problem. I would say this. If Jeff Albert can help the St. Louis Cardinals, people won't give two shits about this next year if the Cardinals can hit. Will there be some fun of people wondering if they're why they're hitting so well? You'll see people take advantage of that on the other side of the aisle. Sure, you will. well, I guess the Cardinals are wearing buzzers. You know, this situation has lended itself to this. Yeah. I like what you brought up. How do you fix this thing? Well, I'll tell you how you fix it. It's like I've said since day one about the PED thing. It's real simple. The punishment has to be so severe that guys won't do it. Now, the PED thing, and again, this is a real problem, okay? Mm-hmm. And again, you can put the onus on the player. Know what you're putting in your body. Okay, there's a lot of guys out there that have, again, pushing the envelope, taking supplements that may or may not have had stuff in it that they were aware of or unaware of, okay?
Right.
But we are in a day and age where Major League Baseball has spent a bunch of money on this, and if I'm not mistaken, Major League Baseball, and I could be wrong, so if anybody out there knows this, let me know. Major League Baseball has said we have an approved supplement list, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you take this stuff, you're good. Now, so it should be that easy, right, even though it's not. But the bottom line is, I believe, on that note, I think somebody said, look, all I take is something that's on that list. So if you want to take my canister and see what's in there, well, now the guy could be lying, right?
Sure.
So there's your end-all problem. So like I said, it's almost like I know I'm sitting here going, okay, it's real simple. You want to get rid of PEDs in baseball? If you get caught, it's death penalty. You're out. Well, guess what? That'll fix a lot of problems.
Oh, I don't disagree. Now, I don't know if they need to go that far. Beginning of the show, we were talking about second chances, and I do believe humans, we can all screw up. We can all make a dumb decision. I'm not that far, Jim. But what I am saying is that, you know, they need to look at exploring something different. If you've got a big fat guaranteed contract, you could care less. You know, say it goes out 8 years, you get, you know, $100-150 million deal, and like, what do you care if you miss a half a year's pay? You're still guaranteed all the rest of that if you don't screw up again. So I just think that if baseball explored, hey, look, if you've signed a multi-year deal under the premise that you're capable of doing this, and then you get popped for PEDs when, you know, hey, were you capable of doing that because you were doing that and that wasn't legal? Maybe they should that suspension probably needs to be an entire year. And I think they need to look at, you know, have given the team ability to avoid that contract. And that's the way the player has to come back, and then he has to earn it again the right way. So I think you got to hit them there. And I'd be real interested to see if any of this changes in the next collective bargaining agreement. But I think that penalty needs to be way more aggressive than what it is right now. And I'll even say this. Look, I work for a company. If I do something in the place of business or something that affects the business in a negative way, the company could be sued, right? The company could be punished as well as me. I could lose my job. So look, I know the teams are not supplying PEDs. There's guys are not shooting up in the stalls. You know, they're not shooting up in the clubhouse. They have lives outside of the ballpark. But, you know, I think what should be considered is just some kind of financial penalty for the team as well. That's your employee. That's your person. And if they're doing something that affects an outcome of a game, why is the team off the hook as well, right? They've got to have some responsibility for who they're putting on their field. So I think all across the board, just the punishment should be way more aggressive. And I'm kind of in this, Jim, where I say two strikes and you're out. Is how I feel about PED.
Well, okay, doing it your way though. So, listen, there's a lot of guys out there that have been really frank about this. You know, mm-hmm. I was at a crossroads in my career where I feel like if I would have taken PEDs, I could have put myself over that hump, got myself a big contract, did whatever. You got a lot of guys out there, unfortunately, that are making a lot of money that took PEDs and then and then now everything's okay.
Yeah, no, I understand. But the thing that's always bugged me the most about it, it's not just its impact on the game over the years, but look how many guys didn't get the shot because the guy ahead of them on the depth chart was cheating and they eventually were out of the game, never got their shot. That's probably the part when you go back and look at it all, that's the part that probably pisses me off the most. You know, how many other players didn't make it, couldn't make it because they had guys in front of them that were cheating. You know, that's the part that always bothered me the most.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. But as far as Jeff Albert's concerned, the Cardinals, I believe, to this point, have already made their decision. I mean, I can't see them now after all. I mean, I guess if you were going to disassociate yourself with anybody, the time to do it would have been last week when the purge was happening. It would seem odd to do it a little bit later, unless the Cardinals felt like they could come right back with hey, you know what? After, you know, having more conversations and feeling and seeing more things, you know, they could pull the Beltran thing and say we both felt it was best to part ways. Now, I'm sure Jeff Albert probably doesn't want to start over somewhere because he's been waiting for this for a while, right? So we'll see. Okay, let's get to some Cardinal guys from the weekend. Couple things that I found of all the things that I found most interesting, and we can go. Let's you and I go back and forth. So we're gonna I'm gonna call this our own Patterson Tire and Service text line comments. So what I'm going to ask is, as we always do, because I think, I think a lot of people like this. And here's the deal. So just so everybody knows, a lot of stuff on Patterson Tire text line, right? Everybody's, seen it. And again, thanks to them, 618-797-6711. Remember that Patterson Tire and Service is a whole lot more than a tire store. Our encouragement is for you to go down to Granite City, 3718 Highway 111, and let them check out your car and find out how they can help you. It doesn't matter if it's running rough, if the engine light's on, if it's, you can tell, sliding around a little bit, need new tires, the brakes are squealing, whatever. They're going to take care of you, and they're going to take care of you in a responsible way. They're going to do a great job, and they're going to do it for a reasonable price. All the things that you should be looking for as a consumer, Patterson Tire and Service has got you covered. Great people. Like I said, been in that community for a long, long time, and you just don't get to do that if you're not honest and fair with people. That's our friends at Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. All right, so here's what we're going to do. So this is kind of our thoughts, and then we can do some stuff to kind of see where this goes. So how about this? Of all the things that I saw that people were really rumbling, and this came up, so I got to ask you. I know there was a lot of interesting things about, where are we at on Arenado? Where are we at on Mozuna? All that stuff come up all weekend. Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? I saw two things that got me going the most, and I want to have a conversation about them. But one of them I'm going to say for the other show, this one I think is more our speed. And that is something that I thought was amazing, and that's this. I have said on here for a long time, it doesn't matter what I think of Matt Carpenter as a baseball player. I mean, I have my opinion, and I'm entitled to it. But the one thing that has always gotten me with Matt Carpenter is I have said time and time again that Matt Carpenter has been nothing but a great team player. Okay? Everybody's been upset with him for years over this, that, or the other thing. And this, that, or the other thing has always been a result of what the St. Louis Cardinals have asked him to do, and he has done. Hey, Matt, we want you to do that. Okay. And all you could find are videos of him working on it every day tirelessly in the offseason, showing up to spring training early and working with the kind of doing all that kind of stuff. Hey, we're going to move. Even though you're not the fastest cat in the world and you got a little bit, we're going to move you to lead off because, okay, I'm going to lead off. And then he goes to lead off and has all kinds of success. And then he struggles a little bit and everybody wants to know why he's leading off because he doesn't run real well. Well, whose fault is that? Nobody's. It's not his fault that for a while he was an on-base machine, right? Okay, we're going to move you to second base now because we did. Okay, I'm going to go play second base. Hey, now we're going to move you to first. Okay. That's all he's ever done. Now, you can get mad at him because he got thrown out at home on a base hit to center field. You can get upset with him because he takes too many. You can do all that. You're all entitled to that. But don't get mad at him for doing what the Cardinals have asked him to do. And now comes out this weekend, after all this speculation, He's going to do that. He steps right out in front of people and says something he doesn't have to say, even if it's true or untrue. I don't want to leave here, but, he basically says I wouldn't screw the organization. Basically saying if they don't want me here, I'll go. Now, make no mistake about it. He's going to go on his terms. Right. Like they ain't shipping his ass to Seattle, probably. Probably ain't shipping him to wherever. Right. But Chicago. He probably would get involved and say, listen, if you don't want me here, if I'm not going to play, if you need to move on, here's some places I'll go. If you can figure something out, I'll go. What more can you ask for in a teammate? That's all I'm saying on this. You can think whatever you want to think. That's all I'm saying. Did that catch you at all?
No. Well, first of all, I have said almost the same things you have, just about how flexible he's been. He's done everything they've asked him to. I've said that before. I don't know if it was with you or if it was on the other shows I do, but that's one thing that's never wavered. I've always had a lot of respect for him, and you know, he's batted anywhere in the lineup they've asked him to. He's played multiple positions, you know, and he put in enough work and it was successful enough to where, you know, you look at him, that's not a prototypical leadoff hitter. That's not a prototypical second baseman, but he made himself into one, and he did very well. I think him coming out and saying, look, you know, I love it here. But, you know, ultimately, if I'm going to do what's best for the organization, and I think obviously he's got to think of himself too, what's best for me. If they were to acquire somebody to play third, you know, Matt, you're going to come off the bench, you're going to spot start. If he had the opportunity to play every day somewhere else, that's in his best interest to do that, because that's probably what he wants to do. I don't think he signed a 2-year extension to be a bench player. But I have a lot of respect for him, and yeah, I didn't expect to hear that. In a statement made in the off season here at the winter warmups, but he's a class act guy, and I do believe he has the team's best interest in mind. He wants to win. He wants to be successful. I have no doubt he's put the work in. I think where the disconnect come over the years is they've asked him to be somebody that he's not. You know, when they put him in the three hole, you know, I think it did in somebody who's studied how he swings over the years can answer this a lot better than I can, but obviously his approach changed and he started pulling more and he's going for power. And, you know, it just, they asked him to be something he wasn't. I believe that was 2017, 2018-ish. And it never worked out. And he hasn't quite been the same since. Now, age could have something that could be a factor that's playing into that as well. But I don't understand that the hate. And I think that some people, it comes across that they just don't like the guy. I think it's more that they just don't like that contract extension that was given to him. It's just coming off the wrong way, but yeah, I don't quite get it either. But it is what it is. I still have a ton of respect for the guy, and you know, it's kind of the same thing with Wainwright when he was either going to come back or he wasn't, and you know, we weren't really sure what kind of Wainwright we were going to get back. And one thing you can't question with either of those guys is just their love for the organization, their love for the fans, and how hard they work. It's easy to forget.
Yeah, it was interesting to me. It tells me something. I don't know about you, but there is no way that he was that open about this and it hasn't already been discussed with him.
Sure.
No way. No way. No way he's that forthright and open about this. Now, there could be a couple of reasons why he was that open about it. Maybe he's not dumb and he doesn't want people to go, well, we could have had Arenado, but Matt Carpenter wouldn't waive his no trade. He's not stupid. I'm sure he's seen it, right?
Sure, yeah.
Right?
He's been asked about it.
You know, maybe he's like, look, so listen, some of the things we've all said are partially true, maybe, right? Like, well, you know, maybe he wants to play more than he wants to sit on the bench in St. Louis, right? Like, most guys are that way. A lot of guys are built that way. Like, people have always said that if you want to punish an athlete, take the game away from him because in the end, they want to play badly. Now, right. There are some guys out there that is not true. Some guys are more than happy to sit the bench or sit on the DL and collect their money because they're human. Some are human beings, right? Some get burnt. Some get burnt out.
Yeah.
Some are tired. Some are, their motivation has changed. Some know they're in a bad no-win situation. You know? Some of them aren't stupid. Man, I'm sitting here with this monster contract. I've done nothing but hurt. Who in the hell is going to give me an opportunity? I might as well just stay here and collect my paycheck. Like, I'm sure that happens, right? But there's a lot of them that are built to play, man. Like, I just want to, you know, the game is passing me by. It's almost over for me. I just want one more game, one more year, one more, because they all know it's coming. And they've all gotten advice from guys that have been in their scenarios. Hang on. Don't quit too soon, man. I look back on it and wish I'd have played one more year. You know that's going on, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was interesting, you know? I thought it was amazingly interesting, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, not that he probably feels like he has to, but I think if a lot of Cardinal fans have heard that comment or read that comment by now. So I do think that, you know, they're seeing a side of him that a lot of people have forgotten about, just how good of a guy he is, instead of just looking at a poor contract. And he scored a lot of points with the fan base. Not that he cares, but I think just looking at the response on Twitter when they were playing his portion of the interview, you know, it's 95% positive. So there are a lot of good fans up there that pay attention. And sometimes the ones that post the most are ones that don't, unfortunately.
Well, you know, and honest to God, I mean, you know, I think he's come out and said, you know, in an interview at Cardinal at the winter warmup, you know, I apologize to the front office after 2019. I think his quote, I feel like I let him down. I mean, you know, how can you hate a guy that open and honest about both success and failure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again,
right.
I, you know, well, the extension. Well, I promise you, if somebody shoved an extension in your face, you're signing it. You know, you know what? I appreciate the offer of the 2-year, $38 million extension, but you know what? I'm just going to, you know what? Just in case I suck this year, I'm going to go ahead and not sign it till after the season. Let's see how I do this year. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, you got to be kidding. I don't know. I will say this. I don't know how you can, like, you cannot, I guess you cannot like him as a player. You cannot like things about his game because, well, I mean, you can do whatever you want. It's within your right. Let me say that first. But but if you're real, you can say, look, I don't like his game. I've been critical of him. I've been ready to move on from him. I understand what he's good at. There's a variety of reasons why I'm ready to move on from him. And it's because I like the team I saw when he was out of the lineup because I thought they were more athletic and I thought they could do more. Okay? He doesn't fit in my version of the Cardinals. That's it. I don't hate him. I don't think he's terrible. I don't, like, I'm just ready to go. Okay?
Yeah,
it was really my same opinion about Jose Martinez. I understood that he could hit, but I was ready to move on because we need somebody that could hit, that could do other things too. And if we don't get that, then we're going to be right where we were. So that was kind of my thing. I understand that it's also not easy. You just don't pull hitters out of your back pocket, too. So I get that, too. Mm-hmm. It's a catch-22, and I get that. I don't know. Your thoughts?
You know, I would have been ready to move on from Matt Carpenter by this point in time. But we know the reality is they're on the hook for two more years. And I will say that, you know, we've heard guys that have worked hard and worked on a program in the off season. They're going to get themselves fixed, and you know, I think that he'll be better than last year. How much better? I don't know. I don't think he's going to return to the form, his All Star form, but I do think he'll be better last year. Hopefully, he picked an approach, and I think last year he was just kind of on the fence. And if he goes one way or the other, at least gets to focus on that. I do think we'll see a better version of Matt Carpenter this year. I'm not that excited, you know, to, you know, open up the season and have him starting at third base, assuming he's going to be there for a good majority of the year. I'm not that excited for that, I'll just be honest. But I think the best spot for him is probably not in St. Louis. And if it is in St. Louis, which right now the reality is it is, he's a very expensive bench player. But he is capable. And so I wouldn't hate the fact that he's an extra on the bench. He can come in left-handed bat with some power that can come in late, spot start every once in a while to get somebody a rest. That wouldn't be the worst thing.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because, like I said, I don't, you know, I understand the money portion of it. Make no mistake about it, too. I mean, we've made the Carpenter or Fowler thing a big part of the Arenado thing from a money standpoint, right? But we're all fools if we think that's the only issue here. I mean, this is a big deal, right? Like, there's a big commitment for money coming back. There's the 2-year thing. There's what prospects are involved. There's how do you move, you know. There's a variety of things at play here, right?
Right.
You know, the Ozuna situation sitting out there waiting. I mean, there's so many things at play here that it's not tied down to specifically one thing. We've made it about that because that's the easy out, right? Like, of course, if they didn't have, you know, it's if they didn't have these contracts, they would go out and sign. They would go out and do that. Well, I mean, they've not had that contract before and not done this. You know, this would push them into another level that maybe they're not comfortable with, but they're comfortable enough with it to explore it. And where there's smoke, there's fire. So it's there. I think what's going on right now is what we do know is that Matt Carpenter's willing to not be that holdup if need be. So
yeah, I think you're right, Jim. It feels to me, and I didn't really connect those dots. But if he's getting out ahead of it, chances are, you know, when you stop and think about it, there probably has been a conversation with Gersh or Moe and between Carpenter and his agent that, you know, look, you know, your name has come up, and you know, if you're catching some things out there in the media or on social media, you know, there's some truth. I feel like there's probably an offer on the table, and I just feel right now, Jim, that it's probably up to Colorado.
Well, yes, and let's do this. Let's end it with this. If I'm a betting man, I've just sat here and praised Matt Carpenter for being a great teammate, right? I've also sat here and praised him for being open and honest and saying, look, I'm not going to, like, if the St. Louis Cardinals don't want me, basically, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically sounded like come out and said, look, if the Cardinals don't want me here, I'm open. He didn't say, yeah, I'll waive my no trade clause, trade me wherever. He didn't say that, which I wouldn't say that either, and neither would you out there, by the way. Neither would you. If you had earned this right, you would want some say in where you go. Now, the other thing that didn't come up, which I assure you, it probably looks like this. If you look at his contract carefully, okay, he is signed for 2020 at $18.5 million, and he's signed for 2021 at $18.5 million, okay? Mm-hmm. So guess what? That 2022, he's got to have 1,100 plate appearances between 2020 and 2021 for that to vest. If it doesn't vest, it becomes a what? A $12 million club option or a $2 million buyout. Okay? Yeah. So guess what Matt Carpenter gets? Yeah, I'm willing to waive my no trade clause, but I want my option picked up right now.
Yeah.
I want that money guaranteed. So then guess what happens? Somebody says, well, I don't want him if that option's guaranteed. That's when the Cardinals say, well, we're going to kick in $18,000 or $18 million.
See, if they get away with $18,000,
that's great. No, so anyway, see how that works? This is how these things work. Yes, I'm willing to trade and help out the club. What are you going to do for me too? Now, and let me say this. I'm not saying that like in a negative way. He has absolutely earned this right. It's well within his right. So, you know, that's where I'm at. We'll see. And like I said, am I saying that is a lock? And that's no, I'm not. Anything can happen, right? But pretty logical based on the way we've seen things go down in the past.
Well, I'm as I was, you know, the tweets and the articles and interview clips have come out of winter warm-up, I think I don't have to address this one, Jim, because I think you're probably going to go to this one tomorrow, and I don't want to spoil it. But John Mozeliak quote at the winter warm-up that got a lot of people stirred up.
Oh yeah, that yes. Yeah.
I don't want to jump ahead on it.
Well, you know why I'm saving that one, because you know, I mean, the whole show is built around guys that are. That the whole show is built around the difference of opinions with guys that Mo's algorithm is going to have a field day with this one.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to hearing.
And that. We can tease it. The bottom line was Mozeliak come out and said that they don't care about average as a thing. Now, I will say this. My guess is he was talking about it in the context of the question.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that it would be an absolute farce. Say, well, we don't care what their average is. I think they absolutely care. And I started to start this off yesterday with this, but I thought I'd wait because the reality of it is this. See, people know that I'm kind of like, I'm not like, I love to criticize when people want to go all analytics, right? I love to do it. But here's the thing. Okay, I understand it because the truth is I have watched them help immensely with the training aspect of it. In how you get better. I've done it, been a part of it. I love it, right? Absolutely. It guarantees you nothing, though, if you want to bank everything on somebody's data. Now, it does give you an overview of who they are. We all are an overview of who we've been, right? I understand that part of it. Here's the thing. If anybody thinks for 1 minute that I'm dumb enough, and I'm pretty, and I'm sometimes not the smartest tool in the drawer, but most of the time I get it. The bottom line is, if you're Joey Gallo, no, your batting average doesn't matter. Okay? But if you're Harrison Bader or Colton Wong, yes, your batting average matters. You can't hit 210 and hit 10 home runs and say, well, I don't care what his batting average is. Of course you have to care. Your batting average isn't all the story, okay? So I'm going to say it again for those in the back. If you hit 240 and hit 35 bombs and drive in 100 runs and have a 350 OBP, you're pretty good. Absolutely. I will tell you this. If that's your production, I don't care what you bat either. But if you hit 240 and hit 8 home runs and have a 310, 320 OBP, then, yeah, I care what your batting average is. You're damn right I do.
You know, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, Jim, we went over just some of the batting average for those for the two Cardinals of the 2000s to 2009, and we were like, just, you know, in awe of looking at this flash line. And you know, look, the part I hear people just hurl out there, and they say that batting average doesn't matter, or that batting average is meaningless. When that's thrown out there, or when I get fired up about it personally. Well, there's a fair amount of responses to this on social media. Batting average doesn't matter. Means nothing. Wrong. I'll take, if I have a roster, I have five players hitting 300, I'm probably going to have a pretty damn good team, and they're probably scoring a lot of runs. I totally acknowledge that there are other statistics, peripherals, that tell a bigger story or tell a more accurate story of how a player is performing. I acknowledge that and get it. But all I say is, if I look at the higher average, the players that are batting for a higher average around the league are probably have a bigger WAR than most others. They probably have a higher OPS than most others. And so I just think that dismissing it altogether, like a lot of even writers that are saying, oh, we should. I don't think so. I've never been. There's value in all of those things. And all I know is, if I got a roster of six players hitting 300, you have a roster of one player hitting 300 and a bunch of them hitting in the 240s. I don't know. I like the chances of my roster better than yours.
Well, because the odds would tell us that if you got a bunch of guys hitting 300, the odds would tell you that a couple of them are probably really producing some big numbers in the other way. Listen, sure. I also understand that somebody can make the argument, well, if you gave me a lineup full of Joey Gallos and I gave you a lineup full of, I'm just trying to think of, you know, whoever, a bunch of guys, some guys that hit, you know, I used to say that there were certain guys that I felt were the, and I said this years ago, that guy's the most unproductive 300. I can't even remember who I used to say that about, but I used to say he's the most unproductive 300 hitter I've ever seen.
Yeah, I could probably drum up a couple of them.
You know, I don't want to misspeak, and I can't remember, but it was a conversation I used to have, and I'm going back to when I was in my early 20s, so I'd have to go back and look at it again. But we used to talk about this all the time, but and that's obviously way before all this shit hit. But the truth of the matter is, I get it, right? Like, no issue whatsoever. You know, I had a great conversation with Ben Street, and I keep bringing up him all the time. I had a great conversation about whether or not I felt Matt Holliday was an elite hitter. And I always said that, now there's a guy, see, there's an example of what I'm talking about. There's a guy that hit 290 to 300.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him flat out, he needed to hit 10 more home runs a year for me to be elite, because if he would have hit 10 more home runs a year, he also would have drove in more runs and scored more runs. You know?
Yeah.
So I think he was a really good hitter, and he had a couple of like really nice elite style seasons, but was he an elite hitter? I don't know. Like, that's a great conversation to have about a great guy that I thought was a great Cardinal. Saying that, yeah, I didn't think he was an elite hitter doesn't mean he's bad. It just means my definition of an elite hitter is far off from what most people's would be. And that's what he and I found out, is that I don't think there's very many elite hitters, just like I don't think there's very many aces. Like, everybody thinks each team's got an ace. I say bullshit. They don't.
No.
You know?
Yeah. Who in Milwaukee? Does Milwaukee have an ace?
Milwaukee doesn't have an ace. The Cubs don't have an ace. I mean, we could go on and on, right? Like, there's very few aces, in my opinion.
That's the hard thing with baseball when you get in debates like that, is just kind of level setting everybody on, okay, what do you mean by elite versus what I mean by elite? And then you can start having a conversation. But if your definitions are completely different, or the criteria is different, leads to Twitter fights.
So anyway, so the whole thing comes full circle for me in this is that I would say this. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with Jeff Albert, but it sure looks like they're keeping him. Right? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Sure looks like
yeah. And I think they should. Like I said, let's see how everything works out this year.
I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen with Matt Carpenter. Should I stay or should I go now is a great song. I don't know. Like, I would assume. I mean, he seems like a guy that like probably doesn't want to go anywhere. But the fact that he's being this open about it would tell you that it's been discussed.
Yeah.
You could say, right. Well, that's a conspiracy theory. Well, yeah, it is. 'Cause I don't know. I don't know for sure. I wasn't in the room.
No, but when you pointed out earlier, I kind of feel the same way. Like, I have a feeling that conversation definitely happened.
So I have no idea if he'll be here or not. If he is here, I hope he goes out this year and kills it. 'Cause he's a Cardinal, right? And I'm appreciative of everything he's done. Doesn't matter if I'm personally ready to move on. Doesn't matter. Okay, go out there and kill it. And then lastly, I don't know how this Astros thing ends, but like all things, it will end. You know, it'll go away at some juncture, just like the PED stuff. It will go away. But I think Major League Baseball had an opportunity, unlike with the PEDs, to put a major crackdown on it. Now, people would say, what are you talking about? I mean, there's been major fallout from this. Major fallout. Like, this is not going to happen again because of what they did. I disagree. I completely disagree.
Yeah, I would too.
I think you've left yourself open here by not punishing any players. For even players, and as we've discussed, in their nature to push the envelope, to do what now? Because I will agree with this. There's probably some general managers or managers out there right now having meetings immediately after this happened. Look, my ass is obviously on the line here for what you people do, so I want to get one thing straight. This better not be going on, right? Like, I have no doubt that's went on in 30 clubhouses, okay? No doubt. But what have they done now? What they've done now is they've said the teacher and the principal are carrying the load here when the student cheats on his test. Well, guess what the student's going to do? He's just going to make sure that the teacher and the principal don't know he's cheating.
Right.
Just like the PED thing. They know what the consequences are for PEDs, but they're willing to take the risk because the risk reward is so great. We're talking about millions and millions. And somebody brought that up the other day and said, nobody talks about the both ways the money's worked out for this. Some guys have gotten some pretty nice contracts based off their numbers. And there are some pitchers that have lost some money because of their numbers facing the Astros. See, all bets are off when there's millions and millions and millions of dollars at stake here. We'll see. It's interesting. It's absolutely interesting. I had a great conversation with a follower the other day, Brandon Henson, about, he had sent in, has anybody talked about the fact that hitting a baseball is still the hardest thing in the world to do? And I said, I agree. It is. And knowing what pitch is coming doesn't guarantee you success. It just ups your odds.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, number one, I'm gonna just like I always do, and I think if we don't, we're stupid. I'm gonna fall back on the guys that play the game. And when pitchers say, and this is what this is all you can compare it to, I would much rather face a guy on steroids than a guy that knows what pitch is coming. Okay? That's a fact. That's these guys saying it. And it does come down to the whole thing of you first off have to make contact. Knowing what pitch is coming helps you make more contact. Taking steroids doesn't help you make contact. It helps you when you do make contact. So I understand that premise. But the thing I had told him was, Tiger Woods is one of the greatest putters of all time. He misses 15-footers all the time. Well, what if I let him re-putt it after he saw the actual break versus what he thought the break was? How many more would he make?
Oh, yeah.
Would he make them all? No.
No.
Would he make some?
No.
He absolutely would. And how big are those 15-footers? So so a lot of times those 15-footers are obvious, or either are a lot of times for birdie or eagle, or a lot of times they save par. So those are massive in the turnaround for the amount of times you do it. His comeback was, and I thought it was great, was I understand that, but the hole doesn't move. The ball is moving. And I said, I understand that. But never underestimate how good a hitters these guys are, and the strike zone doesn't move. These guys all, without question, are trying to deceive you around the strike zone. Okay? When a hitter gets fooled, we sit there and go, how could he swing at that pitch? He was deceived, and he was fooled. I will say this. Go to any high school practice in the country and watch them work on hitting curveballs. They take a pitching machine or a pitcher that can throw BP and throw curveballs, which I've seen, and the guy sits up there and they throw curveball after curveball after curveball, whether it's coming out of the machine or the guy throws it. And the good hitters look like Stan Musial. They just sit there and rake these curveballs. Now, what happens when you get in the game? Do they rake curveballs in a game? No.
Nope.
Why? What's changed? The only thing that's changed is that they don't know when they're coming.
Exactly. Well, I think, if there's a couple things you have, I mean, as a hitter, right? The first thing is timing is everything, right? A pitcher's
For sure.
job is to throw off your timing. Timing's everything. I see that's like one of the big things. It's just, it's timing, getting your body in the right place at the right time. You have to recognize where the ball's at. Okay. So it doesn't really take that away, but that is knowing what type of pitch is coming, or even just knowing if it's off speed versus a fastball. If you could take that guesswork out of anybody's at bat, that is a huge advantage. Does it guarantee you success? No, it doesn't, because you still have to make contact on the right part of the bat, right? You still have to hit it. But if you know what type of pitch is coming, that is a massive advantage.
It is. And like I said, it still doesn't guarantee you anything, right? But it does help.
Right.
And here's the thing. You're talking about guys that are already the best in the world.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. They've already demonstrated that they can hit a ball moving 105 miles an hour from 60 feet. Every one of them can do that. We see guys we've never heard of take pinch hits off Jordan Hicks in the late innings and square it up. These are the greatest guys in the world at doing the thing that we often say is the hardest thing in the world to do. So, knowing what pitch is coming, does it guarantee you anything? No, it doesn't. Yeah, you could sit there all day long and tell a guy all day long, here comes the fastball, and a lot of times they can't square it up. But I promise you, if you tell them it's coming, the chances of them doing so dramatically increase.
Yes. Yeah, that was always, and I don't know what you think, but if there was one thing I struggled with constantly, and I'm guessing a lot of hitters say the same thing, and that is just, the guesswork that goes on, right? You're coiled up and ready to pounce on a fastball. As soon as you get an off speed, you're way out ahead of it. Unless you're good enough to pick something up from the pitcher, a habit or anything that would tip you off as to what might be coming. But I was never that good. I'd never had that many at bats against, routinely against the same guys over and over again, like these guys do here, that I was able to pick up anything like that at all. So for me, the guesswork, if you could have taken out the guesswork for pitch type, my trajectory probably would have been a little bit different. Or not. That's one going to pitch out once. I think I told you that story a few weeks ago. The guy was throwing too hard. I couldn't see it. But you take away a little bit of the guesswork there. You're going to have an advantage. There's no doubt.
Well, again, we'll see what happens. I'm moving more and more. The more it's like anything. I think the more you talk about it, the more you move. You find out. Finally, start moving further away from it. Right? Like you're figuring it out and you're doing your thing. So, we'll see what happens. Like I said, I think the interesting thing for me, though, like I said, is, the takeaway for me was the two quotes. that came up, the one from Mo, which I know we're going to talk about on Bow Ties and Bullshit, and I'm so excited to have that conversation. And I apologize to you if you wanted to have a say in that. If you do, maybe I just have you on that show to give your 10-minute spiel on it. So we'll have to think about that on Wednesday. Did I lose you?
Sorry, Jim. I had myself on mute, and I didn't.
Oh,
I couldn't reactivate my screen.
You're okay. No, I was thinking maybe if you're dying to give your thoughts on the whole average thing, maybe you'll have to make a special appearance on Bow Ties and Bullshit on Wednesday, because I'm sure it's going to be an interesting conversation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If I can get a window in there, I'd love to. I haven't been able to speak to Moj yet. I've talked to Kyle a few times, but I've never spoken to him.
It's a lot of fun, let me tell you. Well, listen, thanks for coming on today, and I hope our listeners out there enjoyed the content today. Remember, if your feathers are ruffled, this is the place to air your grievances. Every day, I guess, can be festivus around here, but to do so, you need to know where we're at. And, of course, that's twobirdsonabat.com, where you can subscribe to the show and never miss a beat. Make sure you check out our Two Birds bloggers. Get a hold of us through social media. At Birds on a Bat Show is Twitter, and we typically will run polls and send stuff out to remind you guys about the Patterson Tire and Service text line. Find us on social media, other sites as well, like Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Make sure you like the page. See the pinned post. You can comment, share it, like it. That helps us reach more people, and we appreciate it. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram as well. And, of course, as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. You know, I can't say enough about all of our great sponsors and advertisers and stuff on the show, as they help keep the show going. Of course, we come to you from the Patio Studios, your original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Check out my good friend Randy Green and Stephanie Green's wonderful company, InnovativeCompanies.com, and find out what they can do for you, whether it's residential, commercial, industrial work, heating and cooling, electric work, construction work. They've got you covered. Don't forget the 15% discount for all first responders in our military, as they want to take care of the people that take care of us. You heard me mention Patterson Tire and Service earlier. Of course, remember, they're a whole lot more than a tire store. They take care of automotive repair work, as well as those brakes and tires that you know them so well for. Give them a call at 618-797-6711 for a quick quote. Located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. Been there for a long, long time, folks, and you don't get to do that unless you're good at what you do. That's Patterson Tire and Service. Get some good eats at Adam's Smokehouse, best barbecue in St. Louis, located on Watson Road. Open till 7, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. Box lunch orders and catering is their specialty. Get in there, smell that smoke, folks. You guys are going to love it. That's Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, located in Missouri and Illinois. Now's the time. Season's right around the corner. It's time to be working on your game. Check them out, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. And, of course, DrKristensJacobs.com reminds you every day of Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Take care of yourself, folks. And if there's something she can help you with, check out Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness Center. To my good friend, Ron Nuttall, and all the Cardinal fans out there, I leave you with Let's Go Birds!
Go Bird!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.